Welcome to Shining Bright, the Farm Her radio show all about women doing great things. Women who are making the ordinary extraordinary. Women following their passion, taking action, and making a difference for themselves and others. Join me, Margie, as your host on Shining Bright by Farm Her. Welcome to Shining Bright. This is Margie, and I've got a herd here today of a little different. We've got Erin.
Yes.
Jen.
Hello. Yep.
And Heather Bruce from Osmonds and Manufacturing. And we're going to jump into talking more about Heather's family business. And actually, our whole episode today is built around family businesses and the women who are a part of them. And one of my favorite things, I want to talk a little bit about, I think, why this matters to us and why I'm going to just say this should matter to all of you listening out there, is at Farm Her, we have a big belief of if you can see it, you can go do it. And we have built a series. We've got, what, 9 events this year, Jen? 9?
Yes.
Events all around the country that is our premise with our events, right? We put awesome, amazing, inspirational, everyday people up on the stage, right? Like the people who get up there, they're no different than you or me. But I think that there's so much power in hearing somebody else's story and knowing like, hey, they may not like have it all figured out, but
they did it.
They did it.
And they're doing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, I mean, that's always been the premise with Farm Her, right? Like if you can see somebody doing something that you didn't realize that they do, have you guys had anybody in your lives that you look up to or that you can think of that you go, man, you went after this. And that makes me realize that I can. And I'll start. Mine is not another woman, but mine is actually my husband. So he has this attitude about life that is so very different from mine. And he has this like, we're just going to figure it out. Let's just go do it. And when I first came up with this idea for Farm Her, like I was like, oh, this is great. Oh my gosh, there's 5,000 reasons why we can't do this. And he was like, no. You just go do it. Like that's how do you think I've built every band that I've been in? Or, you know, like why we have a recording studio in our basement? Just figure it out. It's not, there's no barriers here. And I've really tried to like, take, I suppose, a little bit of jealousy and like he can go after whatever he wants. So
why can't I?
Yeah. Yeah. So here we are.
Right.
But yeah. So mine isn't a woman. But again, if you see somebody doing it, it just opens up worlds for you. So do you have any stories that you want to share, anybody? If not, I can keep talking.
I mean, I think I have a lot of inspirational women in my life, obviously. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I don't even know if it's always going to be, you know, if you see it, you can do it. Sometimes you get called to do things that you never knew you wanted to ever even do. And I think kind of grabbing a hold of that and taking it where, you know, wherever it leads you is just as important.
You're right. I don't know. That's a tough question. I mean, I had my ag teacher when I was in high school. I mean, I was like, I'm going to do what she does. And so I did. Like, that was my path. I never stopped to think about it. Yeah. Afterwards. But I feel like I see people around me all the time. I think about my dad. He has such a positive attitude, like just in general. So just picking up on little things from different people around me, mm-hmm. I think keeps me going. And seeing it does make a big difference, and hearing other people's stories. And so not maybe one specific person.
Yeah. I like that. But mm-hmm. yeah, you're
but
right.
But a lot
like
of little... I'm always kind of looking for it, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, okay.
Yeah, I think how'd attitude is a big thing.
Yeah.
Being
yeah.
open to that.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I just wrote something yesterday for something that we're going to do in the future and the things that I learned from the women I meet. And I had to kind of sit there because I've got a couple things that I always say, right? Like who they are, their stick-to-itiveness, you know, they care so much about what they do. But one of the things I put in there was never say never, because almost everybody I meet has this plan and then it has changed. And mm-hmm. I think we all are in that boat here and probably everyone listening is in that boat. But when you're young, you think this is the way it's going to be.
Right.
This is what like, I'm going to go do.
Right. 100%.
And then you go do it and then it changes. So, you know, being open to those things that are around you is pretty key.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would agree with that 100%.
One of the things that I love to remind people about when I'm talking, because women in agriculture are unique. They are some of the strongest people, but so many times they will not give, like, they will not like take full like ownership of how awesome they are. And I think that we're all like that in some ways, right? Like, you know, I don't want to seem braggy about what I'm doing, but, you know, I always want to remind them that while your everyday may not seem amazing to you, it probably seems amazing to somebody who's watching you.
Right.
So, you know, making sure that we're open to realizing that young women are watching.
Yes.
And on that note, we are going to talk more with Heather Bruce here, because I want all of you young women out there listening, and Heather is young herself, to listen and watch and hear her story, because it's really cool. You can go anywhere. You just have to go for it, right? So stick with us. We'll be right back on Shining Bright. Welcome to Shining Bright. We've got a cool episode on tap for you today. I am joined by various members of the Farm Herd. Erin, welcome.
Thank you.
Jen.
Good morning.
And we've got Heather Bruce here with us. And I want to make sure I say this right. Osmundson Manufacturing. Heather is a fellow Iowan. And so she's here in the studio with us today. So we get to have a little fun chit-chatting. It's always one of my favorite episodes when we can all sit and look at each other, right?
Yes.
So welcome, ladies. Jinx. Jinx again. So the other thing I need to tell everybody about, if you hear like hammering, if you hear people running up and down the stairs, because life happens, we record this in our home studio, and it actually is not soundproofed, but we record it here because there's not kids here during the day. Like, we can, you know, handle quietness here. Well, not today, because we're having a little work done on our house. So everybody's here. Join in, construction people, Heather, Jen, Erin, all of it. So maybe the dog will even come in here and join in the fun yes. today. So, yeah, so we're just going to roll with whatever happens here today. So our episode today is family business. And here in the beginning, you know, I'm super excited to dig into this a little bit more, because we have our own business, Farm Her, here, and it is a family business, but it's relatively brand new, especially compared to Heather's business. And, you know, it got me thinking about how this connects with all of the farmers that might be listening out there. And essentially everybody out there has a family business if you run a farm, right? Like, that is no different of keeping that generation, that legacy, all of that going and running strong. So I think it's something that we can all relate to in some way or another if we're related to agriculture. But So here we are. So let's jump right into it. Heather, Osmundson Manufacturing.
Yes.
Yeah. And how long has your company been in
business?
Business, yeah.
115 years this past summer.
Yeah, you have us beat by
that's amazing. 110
years.
Souls.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is amazing. It is amazing. And I'm sure it's a great commitment by your family. So how many generations does that reflect of your family?
5 generations. So my great-great-grandfather was the one who started it. He came over from Norway with his cousin and his wife, and they call it a fishing boat. Well, back then, what we consider a fishing boat and what they are is completely different. But they came through Minnesota, and he started basically a forge shop or a blacksmith shop. And he had a deal originally with the original John Deere to make tillage equipment, and then it just kind of blew up from there.
Wow.
Yeah. So tell us what Osmundson is today. Tell us what the company is all about today. What do you make?
So we make ground engaging wear parts, basically. So we can make anything, and our biggest thing is in tillage equipment. So we do cedar blades, disc blades, coulter blades, all the stuff that turns up the soil that you need to basically use to farm with, whether our bread and butters in the we consider black soil, so like Iowa, which is fantastic. But we do corn and soybeans. We are trying to expand our market more and more outside the Midwest. I mean, we are still global. We sell to Vietnam, to Russia. We used to sell a little bit in Australia, but it's mostly in the U.S. And we are a 100% U.S. manufacturers, from the steel that we buy to the labor that's used. 100% of it is American.
That's incredible.
And is it all, is everything manufactured right here in Iowa, or or other parts around the country here?
100% in Iowa, in small town Perry, Iowa.
Sweet. I had no idea. Mm-hmm. I'm actually originally, I mean, I went to high school at Dallas Center Grimes. Mm-hmm. So Perry's very close. Like, we played them in sports. Yes. I honestly have never even heard of it, but it's probably not something that I was looking for, paying attention to, really. I mean, you know, but what a great thing to have in a town like that, because I'm guessing you guys employ a number of people as well.
So we've been anywhere from 150 for when ag was super booming a few years back to, I guess, down to about 15 people. So it really depends on the ag economy and everything else.
Yeah.
But currently we employ 95 people. Yeah.
Which is huge in a town like Perry. I mean, and for all of you listening out there, we all know where Perry is, but it is one of those kind of, it's big enough to have a McDonald's. It's big enough to have like a Hy-Vee and, you know, some of those amenities that people need, but it's a little ways out from other, like from Des Moines. It's like a 30-minute drive probably, right? Or
yeah,
so
30, 45 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. So, it needs those things to thrive, and it's great to have something like that in your town. I'm guessing, because, you know, we see small towns all the time with not much industry there. So anyway, yeah, very cool. So, well, let's, oh, go ahead, Aaron. Aaron's got something to say.
No, I'm ready to ask more questions too. So,
okay.
Whatever you're ready for.
So we got 3 minutes here. Yeah. So I got to not ask a loaded question. Yes. Let's go back and talk about, growing up. We'll start there. We can always stop and continue in the next segment, but, have you always known that this was going to be your path to be involved in the family business?
Yes and no. So when I was younger, I came to my dad when I was about 8 years old and be like, I'm going to have your job one day.
I love it. That.
I know, yeah.
Me too.
It's probably one of the only people that can tell him that and get away with it. Yeah. Right?
And mean it.
Well, and he was like, okay, so you're how old now? No. So that was something that, like, I always wanted to be my own boss, my own owner. Mm-hmm. And then as obviously when you get older, you're like, well, do I really want to be in this? Do I not? And then I went to college up at Drake University, and I had a production systems management course. And I talked with dad about it. I said, you know what? I really do. I enjoy this. I enjoy production. We need to come up with a plan. So we came up with basically kind of like a 10-year plan. So when I graduated, I had to work somewhere else for 2 years. I had to get my master's degree. And then I could come back and we would try to do the transition period. Well, that would have been about a 5-year period. And then my father's hard living, so to speak, kind of got the best of him. He had to have back surgery a couple times. So he's like, you know what? I think I'm ready to retire a little sooner, because he's one of those that age is a number. It's not really right. Who you are.
Yeah.
He's the biggest kid I know.
I love that.
But he just turned, he'll be turning 70 this year, and he's officially been like, okay, I'm definitely done.
I think you have seriously perfectly positioned yourself to take over the company. I think that's like the best way to do it.
Yeah.
You've grown up with the company and you've done and physically seen every part of how the company operates. And it has like perfectly prepared you to do that. Cause I know, you had talked about a little bit in some of the articles that I've read, how you started sweeping the floors in the factory, which I think is so awesome.
Love it. Start there.
Yeah. And these people have become like a part of your family, and you've grown up with them, and they know you, and they know that you know the business, which always seems to help.
Yeah. I mean, obviously you have the greatest buy-in ever, right? Yeah. But, and I do also love the fact that your plan was that you had to leave for a couple of years because it does help you look at the world a little bit differently, right? When you don't get to stay in your own realm all of the time. So that's cool. I'm sure that's added greatly to your abilities as you move forward here. So, okay, we are getting right ahead to break. And I want to tell all of you real quick about, first of all, we have events all the time, all over the country for Farm Her. And we've got one upcoming called I Am Farm Her. It's for all ages of women. Head over to our website, www.farmher.com. Click on the events tab and you can check out everything about that event. It's going to be super fun. So stay tuned. We'll be back here in just a few minutes with Shining Bright. Welcome back to Shining Bright. So we are talking family businesses today, and we've got Heather Osmonds, Heather Bruce from Osmonds and Manufacturing. Is Bruce your married name?
No, Bruce is my maiden name.
Bruce is your maiden name. Okay. And Osmondson is the family name?
Osmondson is the family name on my dad's side. Gotcha. So what it is it's my great-great-grandfather, and then his youngest son was an Osmondson. And his daughter married a Bruce.
Okay.
So his daughter and son-in-law is how that transitioned. And then now it's my dad.
Okay. So I will try to keep your name straight. Sorry about that. But yes, Heather Bruce from Osmonds and Manufacturing. We're here. And our goal today is to kind of talk about her path in joining the family business after college, and how you've grown in that, because we're coming up on, you guys are making a big shift, right? You've got big things going on. So you came back after college, you created this plan with your dad and went through that, but maybe came back a little bit sooner than what you had planned. I keep saying came back. Well, you did leave. You went and worked somewhere else for a couple of years.
I left the state even. I went to Pittsburgh.
Okay.
And I worked for basically the chemical division of PPG in the logistics department for 2 years. And then it was actually kind of perfect timing because my husband was getting deployed. And then my dad's like, well, I think it's time to come back. So it was perfect in the sense that I had some ties home that was easier and kept me busy.
Right.
And you had your 2 years in outside, right?
Yes. Check. Exactly.
Check.
2 years. And then while I was doing that, I was doing my master's online. So
of course, right. Good.
What do you think that those years, what did you learn that you maybe have brought back maybe about yourself or like, you know, the way that another company is run or?
So I worked in corporate and that is something that I've really realized more and more that I'm not a big fan of the corporate structure. I really love the family culture. And you see it time and time in our business where, oh, hey, we get big enough, we'll corporatize or we'll make it this kind of way. A great point would be Great Plains. It started out as a family manufacturing and they sold themselves to Kubota, which is great for them. I mean, that's, they'll be doing better things, but it's definitely something... The family culture, the knowing your employees and people and not having to go through red tape in order to get something done is huge. But then I've also learned kind of a different way to deal with people because I was so used to, I guess you can be very blunt and be like, hey, this is what we're wanting, this is what we're doing. We can't do that in the corporate structure. So, and you really shouldn't be doing that with your customers. So it's definitely given me a little bit more finesse.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean, before Farm Her, my career was spent in crop insurance. And while it wasn't a family-owned business, it was an employee-owned business. And then it got sold. And everything started changing so fast about that company and how the people were and just everything. It just became so much harder, it felt like, to kind of do anything and navigate. And it does feel like a backwards way of doing things, right? As far as growing a business and, you know, operating it. So, okay. So, you spent a couple years in Pittsburgh, you came back and let's talk a little bit about your progression. Since you've been within the walls of the family business, where did you start?
So when I came back, the first thing my dad had me do was literally job shadow everybody on the floor.
I love that.
So I did that on first shift and on third shift. And it was a lot of fun. The only thing that I haven't done is what we call running the tongs. And that's basically on our forge presses and using tongs in order to pull out parts from the heat furnace. Mm-hmm. But that was more due to my strength at the time and what we were running on certain lines. But now we've transitioned that part to making it a lot easier for people. So it's not so restraining, which has also opened up our workforce for women too, mm-hmm. which is a huge goal of mine. Yeah. But I did that, and then I came and basically started learning from our past president, Jim Tibbles, and then my father as well, because they both do different duties. Before that, I came back and went away, so to speak. I also had done tool and die for a summer, and then I'd also done customer service about the year right after I graduated. So,
yeah.
And a little bit of everything.
And that's such a benefit. I mean, really to be able to be in every part of that business and really, truly understand what's going on, I think that will make you a whole different kind of leader than somebody who just jumps into a position or whatever. That's awesome.
Well, it helps me. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
It helps me understand the expectations I should mm-hmm. have for everybody exactly. compared to
what you think.
Why aren't you getting this done?
Right.
And so it's definitely helped there because... But it also helps in the turn to be like, well, I know that you're trying to pull something on mm-hmm. me. Like, come on now.
Works a couple different ways here. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think it gives you more respect as a leader mm-hmm. to say, you know, I've been there, I've done that. I know exactly what you're doing, what your position is. I think that's really important.
Yeah. I mean, it gives people instant respect for you too. Like mm-hmm. if you can go walk a day in their shoes, I think, you know, it helps out greatly. But you said that you came up with this plan with your dad. Have there been ups and downs that you want to talk about? Because we hear this a lot in agriculture, you know, of that transition into the family business can be difficult. And it sounds like your dad is ready to move back, you know. And so that probably makes it a little more clear. But it's always this issue of, you know, it's not just business, it's family too. So mm-hmm. you've got this whole level of communicating about things that is different.
So when I first came back, like most people that are young and think that they know everything, I was like, oh, we need to change this. There's all these things that we can improve. And Dad's like, why don't you wait? And his rule of thumb always was, is you need 18 months in your role before you really understand things. Because the first 6 months you're like, okay, I don't know everything, but I do think I know stuff. The first year, you're like, oh, wow, I really don't know a thing.
Right.
In 18 months, you're like, okay, I got this. I know exactly what I'm doing. So it took a little bit for him and I to be able to communicate on a different level. We've always been really close, which has always helped our relationship because we're basically the same personality, mm-hmm. which has helped tremendously over the years. But basically... it was just the communication. The hardest part, I would say, is for Dad and I, it's never, because it is a family business, it's family. It's never off of our minds, just right. like most
There's no
companies.
Complete break, right?
So my family always complains. They're like, oh my God, is there one event that we don't talk about Osmundson's?
Yeah. Please tell me that there is, because you'll give me some hope for the future, because we can't not talk about FarmHer ever here.
So my husband and my mom always like, not just like, okay,
it's done.
Next topic. What? I don't care if it's the weather. Right. It can be something so simple that will remind you of something else that it's
yeah.
just.
It's hard because you're like, I don't want to forget this. We mm-hmm. got to talk about this. But, you know, like dinner with our kids staring at us in the face isn't maybe the right time to talk about an issue, you know, because they don't know how to deal with that either. So, but yeah, it's family business. So we're going to be back here in just a few minutes because I've got a few more questions I want to dig in here with Heather. And thank you everyone for joining us. And I just want to remind you again. So I am FarmHer. You can go to our website, farmher.com, click on the events tab. And it is one of my favorite things that we do with FarmHer because we bring in amazing speakers, awesome lineup of really impressive people, and they get to share their stories and impart those onto all of the women that come from all over the country to join us. So a couple days of inspiration. We'll be right back here on Shining Bright. Welcome back to Shining Bright. So we have been talking family business, and we're here with Heather Bruce from Osmundson Manufacturing, and Jen and Aaron are here in the studio too. And so as we talk about this, you know, we've talked about how this has happened and kind of where you're coming from. So we've got a pretty big change coming up. Tell us about what the next step for you in your family business is.
So the next step is I will be the new owner. Yay. Yay.
So cool.
Yeah. So yes. Congratulations. Yes.
Congratulations.
Huge. Yeah.
So yeah. I have that. And then we get to welcome my second child not too long after that. So in April. So it'll be a very busy household for us.
Yeah. You can handle it all. It'll be just fine. So on that note, as you've been stepping up more and more in the company, and here in February, you're taking over the top leadership role. And you have a one-year-old at home, almost one-year-old,
yeah.
And you're going to be having a second. How do you juggle? I mean, this is like the age-old question. People ask me this all the time too. Mm-hmm. And on one hand, I'm kind of annoyed. And on the other hand, I'm like, well, let's talk about this. Because right. I think it makes it, I feel a little bit better if I know that, like, you know, everybody else is juggling a million things, and mm-hmm. it doesn't feel like I'm just like the only crazy person out here.
So the biggest way that I've been able to juggle, so to speak, and it's the best, is my husband specifically. He's always been there, and it's basically, we've talked about from the beginning that unfortunately somebody's job or career takes precedent. Mm-hmm. So because mine's a family business and it's been something I've wanted to do for years, that takes precedent. So we've worked out different things. I mean, goodness, during that newborn phase, I think we're both going to kill each other.
Mm-hmm, right. That's everybody.
Yes. Yeah.
I think that's pretty normal.
Prepare.
But that plus my having family close has really been beneficial. So it's, my parents live in West Des Moines. One sister lives in Waukee, the other lives in Ankeny. So being able to rely on them when, like, he's sick or what have you, especially when I have meetings and things I need to go to, has been huge.
Yeah.
That's pretty great of your husband too, to be supportive in that and yep. letting your job and your profession take precedent.
Well, that's, it was
great.
It was really funny. Once a couple people have asked, well, one, they asked if he was okay with me not changing my name. I'm like, really? We're in the 21st century.
Yes. Right.
That's a question.
Uh-huh.
And the second one is, oh, so when are you going to go work with your wife? And he's like, would you work with your wife?
Tony's sitting over there shaking his head. No,
yeah, don't do it.
And he's like, no, I have my stuff. She has hers and we're good. There's less. We already have X amount per day. We don't need more. Yeah. So it's just funny.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I always say that you have to do what works for you, right. you know, right. and your situation may not be working for me or Jen or Aaron, but their situation, you know, it's the hardest thing in life, I think, as you're trying to figure out being a mother and mm. stepping into different roles, because I've been there and you're kind of like, how do I do this? Mm-hmm. And you know, there's no one right path as long as you get through the day
you.
And you don't kill each other and, you know, all of those, I think so.
And I think that changes too. I mean, what works, you know, with one child or two could be totally different with four, and you have to kind of have an ebb and
flow. Speaking from yeah. experience over there.
Yeah. To where, you know, maybe my career takes precedent at this time and maybe I have to step back, you know, during another time. So mm-hmm. yeah, it's very different.
Yeah.
Always changing.
We've had all of those. Like we've had every single scenario I feel like you can mm-hmm. have, you know, mm-hmm. from, each of us focusing on different parts of our career and
yeah.
the other one taking the back seat here and there. And, you know, there's no perfectness to any of it, but having someone who will do that with you is, mm-hmm. is the best part about it. Right?
Right.
It makes it a whole lot easier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, let's see. What does the future look like for Osmundson under your leadership? What could you hope for the company going forward?
So I have some very big goals, I guess you could say, in the next 5 to 10 years. Basically, what I'm hoping on is getting into the big blade market, which will help not only in agriculture, but will also get us into construction and mining. So that'll help level out a little bit more and diversify us, so we're not so tied, I guess, to the agriculture market when it has its ebbs and flows. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I'd like to do is expand the company. Its footprint, not like actually a whole new facility, but just bigger so that we can actually handle more things, because I'd like to see us grow even more. I mean, my father helped it grow, and I'd like to, for it to grow even more. I'd like for it to be around for the sixth generation, whether that's my kids or a nephew or a niece or right. somebody. So,
yeah, I mean, I think that's the ultimate dream, right? Is mm-hmm. you leave your footprint, which I have no doubt that you will. And so you talked a little bit about wanting, you know, going forward, making it a little easier for women to be engaged in your workplace. And we connected with you about our I Am Farm Her event. Mm. And I'd love to hear your take on women in the industry, women in your business, and just your thoughts about that.
So it's actually a long time, as most women know, in agriculture. It's been a boys' world. It's always been the good old boys' club. So it's interesting to see that there's a lot more women that are becoming in charge of family farms, or that are making the decisions and things, as well as becoming like ownership. So Kinzenbaum, actually, it's their daughter. She's the one that took over a few years ago. I'll be taking over in my company. So you're starting to see more and more of a trend of more women in these leadership roles, which is huge. A big goal for the company was to diversify our workforce, because being basically the 20-something that can lift 50 pounds is unrealistic and unsustainable. And I'm really not somebody who likes automation. It's a good theory, but I'd much rather the person. They can problem solve, they can react. It's a lot better. Plus, you get to know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
So by making it an easier work area, we're able to make it easier for women to do. And like everyone's trying to do, is trying to make manufacturing and, I guess, the dirty jobs not so dirty, so mm-hmm. to speaking. So it's more not as unglamorous as it used to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, farming's the same way, right? Like, mm-hmm. let's look at it through a different lens. Yeah, there's a lot of gross, bad, unfun stuff that goes with it.
Right.
But you're doing something really cool at the end of the day, or at least I mean, I think so. I always have. Like, I have the ultimate respect in someone who can walk into a factory and build something. Like, at the end of the day, you have a serious product that right. people can use and will use for generations, you know, to come. It's pretty cool. So
yeah, yeah. I love that you look at it and you don't want to, you know, just keep it the status quo. You want to grow it and you want to leave your own legacy. I think that is super cool. And you're seeing it from a totally different angle. I was reading how you're interested in kind of growing it from just corn and soybeans to maybe doing cotton or sugar, which I think is fantastic. Mm-hmm. We were just recently in New Orleans, which obviously that's a big sugarcane market. Mm-hmm. And that would be awesome to have an Iowa company kind of, you know, yeah. being a part in Louisiana. It's exciting.
It'd be nice. I mean, there's the peanut industry. There's mm-hmm. so many different ones around the U.S. that makes it great, but it's hard to tap into those markets.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, I mean, if you can forge a piece of steel, you should be able to kind of diversify yourself and just reach out to other people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Agriculture is so diverse. I mean, we see that. So I'm going to give a shameless plug here about our Farm Her TV show. Whenever you watch that, I mean, we go all around the country, and it might be peanuts, it might be potatoes, it might be blueberries. I mean, you name it, and they need equipment for all of it. And mm-hmm. it's all going different times of the year, and mm-hmm. the markets are very different. They're not all commodity driven. And so it is super important. So Heather, thank you for joining us here today. This has been a wonderful discussion.
Thank you so much for having me.
So everyone, stick with us. We'll be back here in just a few minutes on Shining Bright. And we can't wait to talk more family business. Welcome back to Shining Bright. So we have been talking family business today, and more specifically, women in family business, and even more specifically, family business that relates to agriculture and all of our listeners out there. So Jen and Aaron and I are back, and on the phone, we've got Emily Schmidt from Souq Up Manufacturing. Welcome, Emily.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yes, yes. So I did a little bit of research. Souq Up is, well, here in Iowa, it's another Iowa company. And you guys have been around for, is it 55 years? Is that, was my research right?
Yeah, this year we'll be hitting our 56th year.
Okay, okay. Well, that is impressive in the world of business that we're in, especially family business. So can you tell us a little bit about what Sukup is? What do you do?
Yeah, Sukup Manufacturing Company was started by my grandfather back in 1963, and it has continued to be a family-owned and operated manufacturer of grain bins and grain dryers, and we've expanded to material handling equipment and even pre-engineered metal buildings.
Awesome. So when you're driving down the road and you see those big grain bins that say Sukup on the side, now you know the one of the people behind the scenes there.
And you know how to pronounce the name too. That's always the first question I get asked.
It's Sukup.
Yes.
Am I saying it right? Yeah. Because right. You could pronounce it a different way if you wanted to. Yeah. But
I'm sure you get all kinds of interesting versions of it sometimes.
Yeah. For all of you listening, if you aren't familiar with it, S-U-K-U-P is how it is spelled. But maybe because it's an Iowa company that's always been visible in agriculture here in Iowa, I magically just knew how to say it. So yay for that.
Ingrained.
That is like a pun right there. Ingrained.
Oh,
good job. Yep. Way to be here.
On.
Yeah.
Totally on.
That was good.
Last year.
Yeah. So Emily, have you always known that you wanted to be a part of the family company?
It was always instilled in me. And the way I am made up as a person is I have to evaluate and research. I'm a nerd. And so I, you know, by fifth grade, I knew I wanted to be a lawyer and go to law school, but I always came to the company. And when you're finally becoming adulthood, you know, you have to go through all of that. And law school provided the perfect, 3 years for me to really step away and evaluate whether it was the right decision for me. And, you know, once I decide something, I'm just all in. And I realized that I just wanted to be involved with businesses because I like the productive nature of making something. And if I was going to be in any business, I just wanted to do it for our own family company.
I feel like this seems to be a theme where you are a part of the business from a very young age, and then you have to move away and take some time. So is that kind of a key for you? Did you need to have that time to definitely evaluate everything?
I think it definitely set me up to make a better decision, but then also some time to grow because, I mean, we all need to be a little bit better than our college selves or high school selves.
That's a goal.
Yeah. There's that low bar of you need to become
right.
better. but it's also allowed you to make some mistakes and mature so that you become better so that when you're back, it is, you know, family business that you've grown up with other people that have been working forever too. So they need to be able to see some development and some growth in you as well. So it's mm-hmm. not only for yourself, but for others in the company too, I think.
Emily, when you kind of decided that you wanted to join the family company and be a part of it, did you have to go to your family and make your case, or how did that work? I mean, you know, I think when we're talking about farm families, so often there's this communication thing that can be so difficult about saying, hey, I want to do this or I want to be involved. Was that difficult for you?
It wasn't. So ironically enough, my dad called me to actually ask if he could have my husband come back to work before he called me.
Hold on, Dad.
Whoa.
And he was working at a bank, and we had an employee that had been involved and working for over 40 years, and he was looking at retiring, and Dad just wanted someone that was very detailed that he could trust to be in the position. And so the first decision was for Andy to come back, and I was evaluating whether to accept an offer from a Des Moines law firm. I'm working remote, and then I just realized, you know, if we're going to do this, let's just jump all in. And so I made the call and asked. Actually, I think I wrote a memo about safety homes and then sent it to Dad, which he shared, saying, you know, oh, she's ready. She wants to come back. She's already wrote a memo on one of her products.
She wrote a memo. She's part of the team now. She's in. Yep. On that note, this is not part of the questions I had, actually, but can you tell us a little bit about the safety homes? I know you're very passionate about it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. As I say, like with my verbiage, if it was a bingo game, the free space would be safety homes. So I'd gladly talk about it. Safety homes are a 18-foot diameter converted grain bin into a home. And the best thing about it is that it can ship 10 into a container. You can build one in a day with little to no tools. I've actually helped build one in one day with no drills. And so if I could do it, that says that anybody can. And it's saving lives across the world. In Haiti, we just installed our 300th one, which is dedicated to my grandfather, Eugene, who also was a big proponent for the safety home effort. And through Hurricane Matthew, there was 40 to 60 people in each home riding out storms.
I have chills. Every time, I mean, I've heard about these. I've heard you talk about them. It's such a simple but real thing that the rest of the world can use, you know, and I think it's amazing. Why does it matter so much to you?
I think this is when you align like your purpose, your strengths, but then define how to do it to give back, to become more impactful. I think that's where the added bonus comes, and you really are happier. And I think this is part of my purpose of coming back to the company is the safety home effort, because we're not here just to make a product. We can do so much more with the gifts and the blessings that we've been given to us by God. And I just think it's my passion, and every step with this safety home path that I've been on has been so clear. So it just reinforces that this is something that I need to put my strengths and talents behind.
Well, it's a pretty cool thing to put your strength behind. I mean, it's when you hear about the lives that it saves in countries that may not have the infrastructure and the building codes and the types of buildings that we would have here in the United States. It's absolutely amazing. So very cool. So we only have about a minute left, Emily, but have you had to kind of find your way and make your mark in the company? I mean, you are an attorney, so that's how you came into the company. Has that grown or changed?
Yeah, so they didn't employ an in-house counsel before, so that was a little bit of difference. And, you know, when I interviewed, I did have an interview to come back to the company, and it went across 2 days, actually. But I said, if you're going to hire a good lawyer, then, you know, we're gonna have lots of discussions. Or at least that was my view on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, coming through, they didn't have a lawyer, and you're also coming back as family member that people saw growing up and the kid running around. And that it really emphasized that no matter what you do, you have to understand the business.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Emily. This is a wonderful discussion. Everybody, be sure to stick with us. We're going to head to break here. I want to encourage you also to check out our website, farmher.com. Check out the events tab. We've got grow events going on all over the place, all around the country. And stick with us. We'll be back here with Emily on Shining Bright. Welcome back to Shining Bright. We are talking family business, women in family business, women in farming, agricultural family business, and have been chatting with Emily Schmidt from Sukup. And so as we come back into this, Emily, we've connected many times, and a number of years ago, I know you reached out to me about Farm Her and talking about ways that we could work together. I know this is an important topic for you as a woman in your business. Can you tell me a little bit about your take on women who work in your company and, you know, what you, how you guys look at that and where you want to go?
Yeah. Being a woman in ag and also a woman in manufacturing is a little bit different of a world. The law world is lots more men. And whenever I bring up the fact that a third of farms are operated by women, people make sure I fact check that. Yeah. Each time it's still the same. It is. But it just brings up a different mentality, and that's how Farm Her was born. I mean, it's same perspective that you saw. And because of that, I think it takes a lot more support of women. We have, you know, last year we had to convince a female to apply for a supervisor position, and mm-hmm. she didn't think that she could do it. And I often see that, you know, for women, you have to make sure that you're 100% sure you can do something before you do it. And so that's when I think you really need other women helping women mm-hmm. to realize that they do have the skills set for it. And, you know, we've been just informally helping others, just coaching them and being there with them so that when they do have opportunities, they know that they're ready. And I think that's the biggest role that I've been trying to help others, other females in ag and manufacturing, because manufacturing industry averages about 27% women, and we hover over that mark, around 30%. So we just want to be there to help others as well.
I do think that sometimes us as women need a little bit of a push. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate the fact that you're willing to actually take the time to push the women that you see that have the potential to do amazing things. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes that doesn't happen, and then you lose such a great leader.
Right.
I think that's great.
And the ironic part was the person that we went to and said, hey, you can do this. What do you need to feel like you can? A year later, she interviewed and she got the position. And that's when she said, you know, thanks for that talk. And mm-hmm. me and the other HR person, we needed to hear that. Mm-hmm. It's okay for us to
keep okay.
doing
that. Yeah.
So
yep.
It's just all a circle.
I'm going to get myself in a little bit of trouble here because I don't know the exact numbers, but say a woman need to be 100% sure before they're going to step into a role where men like are okay naturally, you know, being like 60% ready and jumping into something. So it's just like our genetic yeah. makeup is mm-hmm. a little different in how we approach those things. So I do think, yeah, I always tell people like, you got to have your cheerleader behind you to mm-hmm. help push you, but be somebody else's cheerleader too, because right. it can make a right. world of difference yeah. if someone's ready for that.
I think it's important for us to have that positive feedback and to know, you know, what you're doing is amazing. Keep yeah. it up. Yeah. You know, you have potential.
It is.
Definitely. And outlets like Farm Her has really just expanded that. And, you know, it was always something I informally did, but working with Farm Her and seeing that perspective, and we had an event here at Sheffield that brought together 150 women. That was a great event to network and meet other women that we can be supporting.
I know we did have that event and it was fun. That was a mini I Am Farm Her event, just kind of a one day, not our multi-day like we do the other ones. And it always amazes me like how much we all need that connection mm-hmm. in our lives. So Emily, one last question for you. If there's a young woman out there listening who's maybe thinking about how they can find their role in the family farm or the family business or some sort of organization, what bit of advice would you have to give?
I would say, first off, get to know yourself. It has to do a lot of introspection, because you want to put your time and effort on things you want to do and that fulfills you. And what your purpose is. And if you don't know that, start reading, you know, leadership books and asking questions. But then also find a mentor. I think that's been the biggest differentiator for me personally, is having those people to talk to know that you can be coached. I mean, Tom Brady has all those Super Bowl rings, but he still gets coached, and yes. that's the difference.
Yeah, it never ends.
We all need a little bit of inspiration coming from somebody all the time. Well, Emily, thank you so much for joining us here on Shining Bright. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. And thank you to all of you listening out there. I'm going to remind you one more time, we've got events all over the place. Head over to our website, farmher.com, to check out, find one near you, and come see us.
You've been listening to Shining Bright by Farm Her. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern and Saturday at noon Eastern on SiriusXM's Rural Radio Channel 147 and the SiriusXM app. And now, go shine bright.